We probably don't need to be reminded that The Birds is one of the most iconic horror stories in both literature and cinema. And when he had a chance to direct a stage version of the story last year at this time, Stefan Zaporowski said, "I started reading it, and it resonates with what we're going through right now." The critically acclaimed Irish playwright Conor McPherson, basing his theatrical telling on the same short story Alfred Hitchcock looked to, tells the story of people stranded in a house and attacked by a murderous mass of birds. People know much more about Hitchcock's take on the story rather than the original story itself, and then McPherson's take on that story is quite different from what is in Hitchcock's movie, said Zaporowski. So I think people will come with a certain preconceived knowledge. It's something quite different because McPherson, he really took the story and made it go through all the filters of our contemporary moment and spoke about all our anxieties, political tensions, human relationships. The core of McPherson's take is that it is about a human condition, and it is about how we easily shift and change into something not so human. That from an interview with John Soltis for Hollywood Soapbox in September 2016. We're invited to join these survivors in this truly scary stage space as Diva Theatre presents The Birds this weekend and next at the Old Brick Theatre in Scranton. Actors Lindsay Matulevich and Jennifer Fry and director Paul Gallo paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the show and their production.
The original story was written by Daphne du Maurier, and she had a short story called The Birds, and Alfred Hitchcock took that short story and turned it into a feature-length film, which everyone probably has seen, with Tippi Hedren. And I believe there's also even a behind-the-scenes movie about the making of The Birds, which is quite interesting. And Conor McPherson, who is an Irish playwright, took this idea of The Birds and turned it into a play set in a present time with the year not really stated, so there's a little bit of leeway there, in a quiet town on the shore somewhere by a beach, which opens you up to all kinds of wonderful foul play, if you will.
Who are the characters in the stage version?
Well, it's funny because many people have said to me, "Oh, are you Tippi?" And I have to explain, no, this is a, imagine if you will, this is what is happening in another part of the world at the same time when the birds start to, you know, come for human beings. And there isn't a Tippi. So my character's name is Diane, and she is a writer who hasn't produced a book in quite some time, and she had a falling out with her daughter. And when everything starts to fall apart, she's trying to get to her, but she meets a man on the road, and they leave their cars behind and find a farmhouse together.
And I play a character named Julia. She is a young lady who seems quite questionable. She just happens upon Diane and Nat's house in the middle of the night, running away from other people. So we're not really quite sure what's happened before Julia comes along, but she definitely has some questionable actions.
It's an interesting dynamic because, as you know, two is a couple, but three's a crowd. So what dynamic changes between Diane and Nat when Julia shows up? And here we have two women at different stages of their lives with one man in between and no one else around. So what happens? Do we pull together? Do we pull apart? Do we compartmentalize?
Are we becoming the next part of society? It's a lot of those kind of questions.
And we know, of course, that Hitchcock was a master of the creation of suspense. Is it language on stage that helps build the suspense for this?
A lot of it is language and tone of voice we use with each other. We've had to play around a lot with how we reflect to one another and how we react to certain things. It definitely affects the mood and what decisions and what the decisions we make and what decisions mean after we make them.
Yeah, absolutely. What Lindsay said, you know, the dialogue is for interpretation. So you can read a line and you can read it angry, you can read it sad, you can read it terse or jealous or fearful. And so trying to really make these characters actual human beings, it has been very interesting in trying to decide who they are. Are they you, how you would react in this situation, or are you someone completely different?
McPherson gives you a lot of wiggle room with those kind of decisions.
Yes.
And who is playing Nat?
Nat is being played by Chris Egan. He's had an interesting part to play as well, being kind of between these two women. And, you know, Lindsay and I have discussed in our own way, saying in the real world, we just would have gotten rid of Nat.
Yes.
The two of us would have been very capable together.
Absolutely. And there is a mysterious farmer character who shows up and he causes some trouble for us. So... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gives a little bit of information to Diane, which she then has to decide what to do with that information. You know, does she listen to him or does she not listen to him? But regardless, he has planted a seed for sure.
Isn't that the way? You can never unhear it.
No, yes, exactly. No.
We've been talking about Connor McPherson. What about your sense of the language? Is it musical in a way? Because if we think of those Irish writers, they have an ear.
They really do. Everything I've read by Connor McPherson, he has a way to turn a phrase. There are certain parts of this script where it is not easy. You have a lot of quick back and forths, a lot of well, but this, that, and some disjointed sentences. But when he gets going into the stories, it's a tapestry.
What about the rhythm of the piece and the tension that is building?
It definitely grows, and it grows. It starts off slow. And then all of a sudden a few things happen and tensions rise and a lot of suspicions are out there and suddenly Nat and Diane are talking to themselves and Julia and Nat are trying to talk to it's all and it just hits a peak finally and a decision is made.
It's the first play that I've ever done where the scenes actually go right into each other. So there is a feeling of fluidity to it, even though time is passing. So we definitely take advantage of lighting to help us experience that.
And that's reinforced. There is no intermission in this play. It's just a straight hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes or so.
Paul, we want to ask you how it is that you're working to help bring this piece together, which has so many unanswered questions.
It's a challenge, to be sure. I've not quite worked on a piece like it. There is so many unanswered questions, even in the text itself, that we, as the creative force, me as director and the other actors, have to make these choices, which, you're looking for the justification for. And there's so many different ways you can go. So we're hoping that we made a lot of really interesting choices that will be intriguing and really bring the audience in to feel what the characters are feeling and maybe even reflect upon themselves how they would be in that situation.
What is the length of time over which the story unfolds?
That's really for the audience to decide. There is nothing that quite determines how long we are from the start to the end. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of reference to weeks going by, but other than that, we don't really cross through seasons or anything that would tell you how long we've been there.
It's very vague. The weather is very vague, so it could really take place almost in any time and any amount of time.
And it's interesting because as the character Diane is a writer, throughout the play, she is keeping a journal, and the audience is privy to the private thoughts that are in the journal, even though Diane and Julia are not. So the audience has a lot of leeway as well, deciding what is real and what is not happening. You know, what is Julia actually doing when Diane writes things, or what is she, just maybe writing?
And you never know what Julia's thinking or what her motives are, and she tries to come off as this nice person. I personally think she's trying to be friends at first, and then when things go wrong, she can't handle it.
She's a survivor, and I think in this particular play, you'll see three survivors.
Yes.
The question is, who ends up surviving?
Oh.
You'll have to see the show to find out.
Not to spoil things, but how do the birds manifest themselves?
So that's actually very interesting. There's no clue, there's no reason, and the audience actually hears a broadcast at the start of the play where scientists are saying over the radio they don't know why these birds are happening, and it just happened. And there's a few other references throughout the play that they didn't see this coming, it was a massive attack on humanity.
You know what I always find interesting in any type of, whether it's a movie or a television show or a book, when basically society falls apart and nature turns or there's some type of thing that happened, it's almost as if no one's ever heard of that happening before. No one's ever seen a show or read a book where that has happened, and so everyone's quite surprised. So that's very interesting. And one of the lines that is in the show, without giving anything away, is a line that says, you know, no one actually thought that nature would eat us. And it's something that we've definitely touched on in Hollywood. I mean, M. Night Shyamalan did The Happening, where foliage turned against us. And certainly The Walking Dead, which is a hugely popular show on television, where we basically created a virus that turned against ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's not an uncommon idea to use in entertainment.
And do you talk among yourselves as you're preparing to share it with us about climate change and things like that and contemporary things that might be happening on planet Earth?
I mean, I know I can't speak for anyone else, but I mean, it is a concern of mine and we don't necessarily talk about it, but I think there's something that we know that there are dangers out there. And to say to that, yeah.
As any good piece of theater, it's holding a mirror up to us and society. There are things that have happened even this week that reverberate with the themes of this show, without question.
Connor McPherson does not reference anything specifically, so we don't really know why this happened. I mean, you can go back to the old 1950 black and white films like Them, where nature turns against human beings, and it's kind of an allegory towards nuclear war and our fear of what might happen with all of the chemicals that are out there. And we're certainly at the precipice of a very interesting time with the environment and politically, and there's a lot of fear happening, and certainly we're touching on that as well.
Definitely what happens when society kind of falls short and us humans are left alone.
It's interesting too, because we sometimes want to react to a character as an actress how you yourself would react, and you have to remember that that isn't you. Diane is not Jennifer, and I'd like to think that if society fell apart, I would hold every other human being close to me and try to create a situation where, you know, where we stay together. But of course, that doesn't make for good entertainment. So
absolutely, same here. And Jen is the nicest person, so it's really strange to react to her conflicting with my character. But yeah, it's a lot of just rehearsing those emotions, like I was saying before.
Paul, did you decide to use things like music to create mood or mystery, things like that? Does that play a part?
The opposite, actually. The absence of music, because there is no power. There is no running water. It is dystopian. It is the end of the world.
Yes. It's interesting that we're doing this on radio, because radio is the only technology that we have as the play begins, you know, and it's just the last information that we receive is through the radio waves and then silence. So we're just left to our own thoughts and fears.
Did you know the movie intimately coming to the theater piece?
I did. I was familiar with it. I read the short story as well. And all three are very different. I mean, what is the same is there are birds and they are killing people. That's about it. What I like from the play, more so than the movie, and this lends itself to the original short story, is whereas you on the surface feel that this is a struggle, it's these group of survivors versus the birds and they're just trying to live, that's the surface. Underneath this, it's these characters against themselves and against each other, but they, you know, they have this odd sort of, you know, they have to work together, but there's tension, and it's it makes for some fascinating scenes.
You know, they always say, everywhere you go, there you are. So regardless of the fact that everything is falling apart, they're still bringing their entire past into this situation. So the breakdown of relationships that were happening before the world fell apart still come into play.
You can see them almost mirrored, like with Diane's relationship. She's a daughter, and you hear her backstory with her daughter and how she may look to Julia and how her reactions to Julia might change.
And what about the setting, Paul?
It is a one room and in a little country farmhouse. It doesn't move from place to place. It is just this one room.
So the tension builds even more because it's a pressure cooker then.
Julia Lindsay has a fantastic line. It's so hot, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do. And there's must we all sleep in the same room all the time?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We also have no privacy. And we're three different people, very different people. And I think Julia really wants that, and she can't get it.
What's wonderful about Diva Theater, which is where the play is being held, is that it is such an intimate theater. So for a show such as this one, where we are just in this farmhouse together, the audience is there with us. They are on our field of vision, and they're experiencing what we're experiencing. They're hearing what we hear. So they're on this adventure in this little space with us as well.
Actors Jennifer Fry and Lindsay Matalevich and director Paul Gallo speaking with us about The Birds as it was adapted by the Irish playwright Conor McPherson, that will be presented opening tonight at 8, running October 6th through October 15th, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, at the Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton, presented and produced by Diva Theater. 8 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, Sunday matinees at 2 on October 8th and 15th. You can find Diva Theater on Facebook, and also you can make reservations by calling area code 570-209-7766, 209-7766, area code 570. The Birds by Conor McPherson, October 6th through October 15th. Two weekends, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sunday matinees at 2, and that's at the Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton, Diva Theater on Facebook.